Heart and Talent Radio.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. I am the host for your Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call. I've been hosting this call going on 19 years in free enterprise. Back in the day, well over 20 years ago, this used to be a mindset call for my team. Then in 1998, I converted this to a mastermind call for the database that I began building back in September of 1998 when I first launched this call at 5 p.m. Eastern, which was 2 o'clock in the afternoon, California time. For the last almost 19 years, I've been hosting this call. This call is officially recorded and available on Pod-O-Matic. This call tonight will be available at 9 o'clock Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Wednesday, tomorrow, Wednesday, May 10th. I've also recorded years of this call going back many, many years. You can find the recorded calls on Podomatic and my website on recorded calls, goldenmastermind.com. I will cover a few quick announcements and then move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. Next Tuesday night, May 17th, I will have Tara Romano as my guest on this call. Tara was on this call a couple of years ago and is an exceptional, inspirational speaker, a fantastic direct sales superstar, a multiple six and seven-figure income earner in free enterprise. I've had the privilege of knowing Tara almost 6 years, and watching her transformation has been absolutely exceptional. Tara will bring many gifts and skills to this call about what allowed her to be a multi-business owner in free enterprise and one of the top income earners in one of the top direct sales companies in America. So that will be next Tuesday night, May 17th. Sometime in June or July, I will have Jennifer Trinkner as my guest on this call. Jennifer also is a multiple six and seven figure income earner in free enterprise, network marketing, direct sales, a top tier professional businesswoman, and a first class human being like Tara. It's very interesting. I had the privilege to start coaching both of those exceptional women in 2011, and watching their rise to success in free enterprise has been an absolute privilege and pleasure to watch the women they have become. There are many of you on tonight's call who have been loyal listeners. I want to thank you for your patronage. I'm going to deliver a fantastic call for you tonight about one of my favorite topics, how to raise your vibration, how to raise your energy, your awareness, and most importantly, your consciousness. Now, this Saturday, I will be hosting my seventh anniversary of the Protégé Writer Speakers Workshop. 7 years ago, I launched this product. I host it two times a year for the advanced students of Breakthroughs to Success and my coaching clients. It is an absolutely awesome event to really take your writing, speaking, branding skills to the next level. If you want to find out more about that, the front door of that would be my coaching program. If you're serious about taking your skills to the next level or want to address an unresolved issue that keeps you in a state of fight or flight and overwhelm or avoidance, feel free to contact me for a free 15-minute coaching call, provided you're at least somewhat interested or serious about finding out more about my services. You can send me a Facebook message letting me know what you'd like me to assist you with, or you can contact me directly at 209-932-0227. May 20th, I will be in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. June 3rd, I'll be in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. June 17th, I will be in Marina Del Rey, Los Angeles, California. June 24th, Walnut Creek. That is in my backyard in the East Bay of the City by the Bay, San Francisco. July 8th, Long Island, New York. July 15th, La Jolla, California. July 22nd, Atlanta. And August 5th, I will be hosting the Millionaire Blueprint at the Bally's Hotel on the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. I'll be sharing the stage with Susan Sly, Jennifer Corliss Trinkner, and Tara Romano. That will be from noon until 4, and there are still plenty of tickets available for that event. We have room for about 500 to 700 participants to attend that event. With that, I'm going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. The topic for tonight's call is a topic that I've been researching, studying, understanding, and honing myself, raising my level of consciousness. Consciousness is also synonymous with the word awareness. As you begin to understand the cause that creates the effect of why you do what you do, as you begin to separate your feelings from the events that create anxiety, avoidance tendencies, emotional and physical addictions, then you will be able to change your energy and raise your emotional vibration. You'll be able to change your awareness, and over a period of time, as you begin to understand the science of attraction, you will have the opportunity to attract your reality, people, situations, and opportunity that will foster your purposes, that will lead to co-collaboration of creating your dreams with other people's dreams. As you begin to have a better understanding of the cause that creates the effect, and you can separate your story and your emotions from the events that create your anxiety, then you will be able to step into a different level of power. But if you continue to operate in anxiety, fear, and doubt, you will be sending a mixed telepathic message. Unfortunately, a large percent of society creates a story about an outcome that it hasn't happened or has some connection to a past event that has happened, that a story gets wrapped around an event that hasn't happened. So meaning that events shape our feelings. When we hold on to the past or hold on to events, it can create an identity or form a neurological network of neurons that wire and fire that form a set of feelings that create our anxiety. As you have a better understanding of why you do what you do, and you no longer continue to ask this question, how do I? Many people will say to me, I know you hate how do I. Actually, I don't hate it. I assist people to understand that it's not how do I, it's why do you. If you don't understand why you do what you do, then you will typically stay neurochemically addicted to a set of feelings, and then your emotions have a corresponding effect on the outcome that you create. Now, as you have a better understanding about addictions, emotions, and basics of neuroscience or basic understanding of cause and effect, then easily and effortlessly you can separate your feelings and especially the story. The fundamental foundation of transformation begins with your words. Now, you may have heard the term self-talk a few thousand times, but you'd have to put into application and integrate a set of words that are much more persuasive than the words you use that create avoidance. The most common words that people use to avoid, to keep a low level of consciousness, a low level of vibration, a mixed telepathic message will create an energetic field in your field surrounding you, and then the field that you send into the universe and into the quantum field, you will send a very low vibrational message, typically transmuting feelings from guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, overwhelmed feelings, anger, hate, and resentment. Those are six of the most common emotions that will create a very low energetic field. As you begin to have a better understanding of the events that created that field, and you're able to easily and effortlessly, specifically anger, as you can address your unresolved anger and then address your unresolved guilt. And these are two of the most common energies that keep people at a very low level of consciousness. And if you continue to repeat people's questions, you check out, you get overwhelmed, you stay in a state of, I don't understand, I don't get it, I don't understand why I'm not succeeding and everybody else is. Well, actually, everybody else is not succeeding. Success is based on a principle called the law of the few. There's always going to be an 80% and then a 20%, then a 20% of 20, a 20% of 1, and a 20% of 1/20th of 1%. That principle is called the law of the few. Now, when you have committed, see, committing brings a different level of energy. When you have decided, when you have committed to not failing, when you will not turn back, when you will not be denied, then you start to create a different level of emotional energy. It creates an undertow, a centrifugal force, meaning you'll attract your reality at a higher level of frequency, at a higher level of averages, people, situations, and events that will foster your feelings. Whenever I go to a restaurant, there is always a parking space for me. But many people take the word always and turn it into a different type of identity. This always happens to me. I always get overwhelmed. I'm always late. That creates an identity. That creates a sense of certainty. That creates a belief. Does not foster empowerment. That fosters force. When you have anxiety about being organized, I'm not sure if I can stay organized tomorrow. When you spend your time rebelling against your own success, then you will transmute a set of feelings based on disbeliefs and uncertainty. Many people say to me, I'm definitely going to hire you, but, well, everything was just lost by but. Definitely is a sense of certainty. Definitely means definition. It means defined. When you are definite, then you have a definite of purpose. Then you will not be denied. But when you contradict definite by but and then tell yourself a story or tell someone that you think that you want to mentor with, coach with, be in business with, I'm definitely going to do this, but after the holidays. That is not a sense of certainty. That is a wish. When you are unequivocally clear, when you don't live in doubt, when you're not in an overwhelmed state, then your body and your mind become together and you create a one with type of energy. When you are separate from, your body will run your brain. Your body will secrete a set of neurochemicals, virtually creating its own pharmacy to stay in a state of avoidance, overwhelm, and anxiety. And your communication style typically is filled with doubt and uncertainty. This is why many people, if you become a skilled listener, you will hear many people communicate their doubt by fostering a set of words like kinda, sorta, and guess. And then this type of communication leads to avoidance. When you're in avoidance, you're in a very low level of energy. That is doubt, fear, and anxiety. Now, to raise your consciousness really means to separate your feelings from the events that created your doubt. Anything below doubt, you're going to transmute your energy at about 180 cycles a second. The lowest transmutation of energy is guilt and shame. Factor that 2 out of 5 men have been sexually violated, 3 out of 5 women have been sexually molested, violated, or traumatized. Then factor a large percent of society grows up in dysfunctional homes. Many of us lose our innocence based on events and roles we have to take on. We have to take on a role that we lose being a child. We become a grown-up. We tend to over-obligate, do too much, say yes to too many situations, have challenges with guilt, separating our guilt from reality. We get guilted into doing situations. We let our family guilt us. We let our employers guilt us. Then we live in an overwhelmed, emotionally anxious state. Now, in that kind of state, in guilt, you're going to transmute your feelings around 25 to 100 cycles a second. It's the lowest transmutation of energy. To raise your consciousness really means to raise your awareness. It means that you start to practice a different set of emotional discipline daily. The actions will follow the discipline. The physical discipline will follow the emotional discipline. That means that you could go one whole day, at least one morning, without being critical, preferably one day. If you can go one day by being objective, being honest, being present, and not being critical of yourself, then you have your first day of sobriety. That begins to change your emotional state. If you seek to attract your reality, people and situations of a higher degree of certainty, then you must become certain. You don't have to have money to be certain. You don't have to be successful to be certain. But you have to be certain. Certain means that your sense of certainty is a place called belief, not disbelief. Dis is not, belief is now. Yesterday's beliefs have no bearing on the beliefs that you create tonight. When you go to bed tonight, you want to go to bed in a sense of certainty, in a no state, a K-N-O-W. When you live in no now, those are two very interesting words, no, K-N-O-W, now. When you know now, it leaves no margin for doubt. When you live in that place called faith, then you're not in doubt. Now, doubt is the space between fear and faith. It's the foot on the boat, the foot on the dock. That's where most of society resides. Their communication style fosters that kind of doubt. Doubt is a very perplexing energy, because in doubt, you can actually take one step out of doubt and step into faith, stay there for a while, get overwhelmed and get anxious as you create a result that you might not be able to control it tomorrow. So what most people do to stay in control of their control is they stay in doubt. Doubt is a state between certainty and uncertainty. So when you're in uncertainty, that's what you telegraph, and your communication style fosters that. As you begin to let go of the control that keeps you in control of being disappointed, and you start to let go of your anxiety about how are you going to control tomorrow, and realize that the only time you have today is now, and that's 86,400 seconds, 1,440 minutes, you start to raise your tone. The tone of your voice is 37% of how you connect with people. When you start to insert inflection, when you start to roll the terms in your, off your tongue, absolutely. When you can say yes with inflection, when you know you deserve to be heard and you start to find your voice, and you start to come from that sense of power, pride, and dignity, and not the kind of pride that debilitates you, the kind of pride about a task well done. I had the unequivocal privilege of spending last Thursday night with a very good friend of mine, Eric Sweeney. I met Eric when he was 21, when I was 22 years old. He was my assistant waiter in a 5-star restaurant in Kansas City, Missouri. He had just graduated from University of Kansas. He played high school football. He played football at Kansas University for a couple of years. He and I became instant friends. Now, I watched Eric go through a series of ups and downs in his life. Then an event happened to him in his life. His father passed when he was 50, in his mid-50s. His father left him an inheritance, and he had always dreamed of owning a restaurant. He answered an ad on Craigslist. Lo and behold, that very ad that he answered was a restaurant that he once worked in when he was 12 years old down the street from him in Overland Park, Kansas. That restaurant was called Hayward's Barbecue Pit. My friend Eric bought that restaurant for about $200,000, the money that he inherited from his father. In a 5-year period, never being an entrepreneur before, always working for someone else, trading time for money, trading time for dollars, still living his dream, Eric turned that into a 7-figure business. Now, he's not achieving 7 figures yet, but his gross sales have topped 7 figures. He took a restaurant that absolutely was at the bottom of its life, barely breathing air. His passion drove that business. He completely changed his energy. He is willing to do whatever he has to do to succeed. He's devoted 6- and 7-hour days. He moved locations. He got creative, found money he didn't have, bought a top-tier pit. Barbecue pit. He does not use gas, does not use electric, uses only hickory wood to make his barbecue. It is so, just the whole ambiance of the place, I mean, I can still feel it from last Thursday night. I had so much pride in watching what he created because he is committed. He already has plans to take that business to $6.8 million in the next 3 years, and he will do whatever is required. That means that he is all in. There is no opportunity for him for fail. There is no margin for doubt. Now, what that means, that you have to take that literally. That doesn't mean that he doesn't occasionally wake up with doubt, or I don't. But there's in the house of faith, there's no room for doubt. Doubt don't live here anymore. When you can come from that type of sense of certainty, when you come from that kind of belief, when you are solid in your emotional state, your consciousness changes. So the type of employees that he will attract now versus what he would attract early in his career, the type of management team that he has today, the people whose service his customers in that place, he's created a camaraderie, a culture around that specific restaurant. That's what your purpose is to do, is to create a culture that's conducive to results. But you cannot attract your reality, the people and situations, to foster dreams if you don't have any. That's why your dreams must be clear. You must have a vision of the outcome that you seek to create. In a no state, you know you will not be denied. If you want to live in another state, don't let other people rob you of that opportunity. You would have to let go of your guilt and your resentment about being able to leave people behind. You're not leaving anyone behind. You're moving to foster your dream. But when you let that lingering doubt hinder you from your dream, then you will tiptoe quietly through life, continuing to wish that you would have lived a different life. The only way you're going to live the life you deserve to live is by living it. You can't think about it. You have to be able to romance it. You have to be able to feel it. You have to be able to emotionalize it. When you start to become emotional, you raise your vibration. You raise your consciousness. But when you're not certain, when you're not sure, when you're not sure if you're good enough, who am I to put myself out there? When you doubt your value, then you can't deliver the service required to have value. And until you value your time, then you can't let go of how you over-obligate yourself. Until your time has value and you are valuable in that time, you will continue to give the time away that isn't valuable. That's what most people do. They over-obligate themselves. They spend too much freaking time being right. They get overwhelmed trying to prove other people wrong. They spend too much time in conflict. And if you have a conflict consciousness, then you will attract people and situations to your reality to foster that. That is one of my biggest breakthroughs, is to realize how much of my life I spent in conflict, getting arrested, getting in the ring, getting in fights, being right, doing dumb things to myself, and then overwhelming myself and then working myself out of it, being a superhero, exhausting myself, overcoming another obstacle. Hit rock bottom, go to the top. Hit rock bottom, go to the middle. Hit rock bottom, go to the top. Hit rock bottom, go above rock bottom. I spent way too much of my time in about a 14-year period in a constant state of relapse, where I was relapsing every single day, the last several years of my emotionally addicted state that led to my acute alcoholism and drug addiction. As I reached a place called The Pain Is Great Enough, when I was 31 years old, about to turn 32, I reached a place of despair, which is not the place that you raise your vibration. When you're at despair, at rock bottom, it's the lowest of low you can get consciously. I'm not saying it's a great victory to hit rock bottom. Sometimes it's required to hit rock bottom, but you on tonight's call do not have to hit it. I hit it, you don't require. What you require is a sense of certainty, a no state, knowing that you're committed. Your commitment begins with committing. It's not how do I commit, it's why aren't you committed? Why aren't your dreams important enough? Why isn't your vision clear enough? I mean, instead of asking how do I, it's why don't I? And because you don't believe in yourself. How do I believe in myself? It's not how do I believe in myself, why don't I? Most of the questions you ask yourself are asked backwards. You're trying to figure it out in the neocortex of your left brain. You want the recipe. Rather than the recipe, you have to learn to figure it out. When people tell me they're going to hire me or hire my services 90 days down the road, 60 days down the road, I know they don't mean it. I know they're saying that to themselves because they think they actually believe it when they don't. If that person was really committed, they would do what I do. I found $1,300 to start a business in a few hours. I sold everything I owned on multiple occasions to stay in business. I sold my greatest sports collectibles to buy leads. I would buy leads before I would buy food. I would do whatever I had to do because I reached a place where I was never going to work for someone again. When people tell me they can't quit their job and I don't understand what it would feel like to quit your job, you have no idea what I've been through, just like I have no idea what you've been through. But if you had an idea of what was required to go out and succeed, then you would do it because it takes more energy in an overwhelmed state to struggle than it does to succeed. And I see people, they go to jobs they hate, and instead of hating their job, instead of spending time hating your job, you can spend time being inspired about your dreams. But when you start to worry about how you're going to make it, it's not in the future, it's what you do today. It is what you do daily. When you start worrying about paying your mortgage, then you can't put energy into creating results. When you worry about an outcome that hasn't happened, then you can't be creative and innovative enough to be and stay in business. Worry is an overwhelmed state. It has no value. I worry all the time. When you're worrying, you're in the lowest transmutation of energy you can possibly be overwhelmed. When you say that worry is a way of life for me, then that means you've accepted it. When you come from a place called always, then you can't change. That means you're neurochemically, emotionally addicted to a set of feelings that have become your identity. You cannot succeed in an identity that you fail in. It just doesn't happen. And it's not a how do I, it's an I am state. It's an I am state one day at a time. And it's that commitment that changes your vibration. It's that commitment, that decision, that decisiveness, that I will not be denied state that begins to change your awareness. When you start to change the way you communicate with self, meaning I'm committed rather than I need to, Instead of saying, I guess, you say, I know. When you come from no, when you come from commitment, you will not be denied. You will figure it out. And if you ever interview people who figured it out, they can't tell you how they figured it out. They figured it out. Now, they can tell someone else that they figured out, that figured out with them, because they can look at each other's eyes, and that's a conversation they can have unconsciously. And it's that unconscious consciousness that you begin to change. It's the emotions that you've repressed, the emotions you've buried, the feelings you say, I don't remember my childhood was a blur, I don't know this, your unconscious does. As you begin to separate yourself from that, and you know that you're good enough, then you will begin to change your awareness. How do I become good enough? It's not a how do I, it's an I am state. It's that I am state, and it's also it's reading the books, it's listening to the downloads, it's the podcasts, it's the events, it's the seminars, modeling yourself after other successful people. It's mentoring with people who have been there, done that, and understand the value of the skills, habits, and mindset. It's being able to change your perception about events. But when you continue to use words like hard, that creates your avoidance. What you're going through is not hard, it's not difficult, it is new. I had someone tell me recently how difficult it is to ask questions. Actually, it's not. Questions are 5 to 15 words that end with a question mark. A question is not a story. When you tell a story, it's hard to remember the question that someone asked you because you've checked out. See, that's difficult. It's difficult to stay in an overwhelmed state, emotionally intoxicated to a set of feelings that leads to low vibration, low self-esteem, and disappointment. That's a challenging life you're living. When you can't pay the freight, when you have anxieties and worries about money, that's difficult. That's challenging because now you've got to overcome a very high tolerance to your emotional addiction. Event-shaped feelings become moods, feelings become anxieties. When you live in an anxious state of anger, hate, and resentment, guilt, shame, abandon, rejection, and overwhelmed feelings, when you are angry frequently and you don't understand why you're angry, when you lose your composure, when you get upset at people, when you get disappointed at people, when you have to feel like you're in control, and if you try and control a team of like-minded entrepreneurs, it won't be long till they're not like-minded because they won't be listening to you. Entrepreneurs do not join business to be controlled. Entrepreneurs join businesses to create their freedom. If you're trying to control someone's control, you'll end up out of control of your control, and your team will be NFL, not for long. As you begin to understand why people do what they do, meet them where they are, listen to what they mean, not what they say, and you understand, you have a better understanding of who does and doesn't commit. And as you listen to people's non-committal language and listen to the people who are committed, you can tell a lot about the law of averages and who will be and stay committed. As you start to understand the cause that creates the effect of why you do what you do and why your team does what you do, then you won't get so overwhelmed about them. You won't be in their back office checking up on them. You won't be nursemaiding, babying, controlling a team. You'll be leading a team, and you'll also meet people where they are. If someone wants to leave your team because of whatever, then you don't put a lot of energy into it because you understand that you are good enough and you are capable one day at a time attracting the type of people to foster your purposes, provided you're coming from a place called peace. But if you have to be in control, then your anxiety. As you let go of your anxieties, then you don't have to be in control of anyone. You can meet people where they are. Then people begin to show up differently. But when your check is dropped, your energy usually drops with it. When you have anxiety about outcomes that have happened, that could happen, that might happen, then you start to telegraph your anxiety. It completely gets in the way of your flow. Your flow will be a direct reflection of your feelings, just like your resistance is. If you're in resistance, if you resist change, resist making your bed, resist being organized, how can you attract the methodical, systematic, organized people who can manage the moving parts of multiple businesses and success? You can't. You don't have to be successful to attract successful people, but you have to be in the success process. But if you live in avoidance, you can't possibly attract unless you get lucky. Now, I will say this, I'd rather be good than lucky, but occasionally a few people get lucky. But it's probably not going to happen to you. Luck is when opportunity meets preparation. As you begin to prepare and execute daily, one day at a time, as your discipline changes, as you let go of your story about putting yourself out there, what are they going to say or think? I mean, the people that you worry about aren't worried about you. They might make fun of you, but you also have to look at, you have to do this. CTS, consider the source. As you begin to consider the source of you have anxiety about, most of the people you have anxiety about aren't even successful. Most of the people you have anxiety about are employees. Most of the people you have anxiety about are passive-aggressive. And the reason you're worried about them is because they've typically emotionally and or physically violated you in the past, or you have a story that it might happen in the future. As you no longer are an addicted storyteller, as you no longer live in an overwhelmed emotionally state, you can begin to change your vibration. You change your energy. It's not your law of attraction that's important. It's the science of attraction. Attraction is a science based on your spoken word, your unconscious word, your actions, your inactions, the feelings that are mixed, and the feelings that are clear. When you're in a mixed emotional state, you're going to attract your reality, the people and situations, to fulfill your anxieties. When you live in a consciously aware state, in a place called joy, in a place called bliss, as you begin to live in that state of emotion, you will begin to attract a type of person that will be in alignment with you. You virtually will begin to attract people who believe what you believe. One of the greatest authors that you could possibly begin to study and integrate, and when you really start to move into the hands-free zone and you start to move into the inner game, you don't read books. You take a book and you understand the book. You actually can look at the book knowing that the book has content that's applicable. When you can take knowledge, put it into application, then integrate it, now you can hit a 98-mile-an-hour fastball. When you sit in the on-deck circle worried about how you're going to pull it off, you've already struck out before it happened because your body is now running your brain. When you worry about prospecting and you're anxious about getting rejected, you've already begun rejecting yourself. Your body's releasing a state of neurochemicals. You've already created your own pharmacy. You've created the toxicology that you require to fulfill your disappointment. Very few people understand the science of this. The science of transformation is letting go of a series of events that create your emotional state. Your emotional state is your anger, your hate, your guilt, your resentment, your abandonment, your rejection, and your overwhelmed feelings. When you are so overwhelmed about what hasn't happened, you're already attracting to the very situation you seek to avoid. Unfortunately, this is what so many people do. The lowest level of transmutation that is not consciously awareness starts with shame, guilt, apathy, grief, fear, anger, pride. Now, we're talking about pride from a different level of pride, when you have so much pride that your ego gets in the way. The game begins to change with awareness, courage, and neutrality. When you live in a neutral state, you'll have high highs and low lows. You won't get overwhelmed. You won't laugh when nothing is funny. You'll be in your body. Then you move into a state called willingness. Willingness means that you come from your will, meaning you can not only do you will it to happen, you know it's happening. You're willing to change. You're seeking change. Then you move into acceptance. Once you move into acceptance, acceptance is a very high level of consciousness. Acceptance means you're able to integrate situations. You're also able to accept the fact that not every day is ideal. And in acceptance, you don't get overwhelmed. You don't lose your composure. You don't relapse back into anger when you don't get your way. When you live in a state called reason, now you're at 400 cycles a second. As you move into a state called love, you love what you do. You have a love of people. You love life. You get off the plane in Montana, and you take in Big Sky Country, and you go, oh, my God. You're down in South Philadelphia, and you can feel the energy of the city. You're in Manhattan on a Saturday afternoon bumping into people in complete awe of what it's like to be in this majestic city. You're in the City of Angels in Los Angeles. You're in West L.A. on a Friday night going, oh, my God. God, the people are so beautiful here. When you're in that kind of state, when you live in awe of it, and when you're in that kind of energy, when you get off the plane and you're in Perth, Australia, and you're standing on the beach in the Indian Ocean, when you're in the French Riviera in an 8th century village called Ez on the third corniche overlooking Monte Carlo, you're in absolute awe of the beauty of the world. When you have a new dog, a puppy, a cat, it's amazing the kind of love that these kind of animals can give off in you, because they're in acceptance. They don't have an ego. They don't have an identity. They want you to love them. When you can come from that kind of love and that kind of joy and that kind of peace, now you're transmuting your energy at 600 cycles a second. At that type of energy, not only do people show up, your goodness begins to just pour out of you. People come to you in many different ways. Opportunities show up for you. When you come from enlightenment, you are unequivocally in a place called synchronicity, meaning you can pick the telephone up to call someone, and before you can dial the telephone, they are already there. So when you start to understand consciousness, consciousness is an acute state of awareness, meaning in a 360 degrees, 240 degrees, through extrasensory perception, through synchronicity, through intuition, through trust, through know, you're a very heightened state of awareness in a very relaxed body, being a spiritual being. It's not airy-fairy, it's science. When you're in that type of science, when you're in that type of state, your body is in alignment. Your brain and your brain and your body are one. Your brain and all three sectors of the brain, the neocortex of your brain, the limbic brain, the cerebellum, they're in unison. They are operating in one with. There becomes very little separation between you and the outcomes you create. Now, this begins to show up when you go to restaurants, when you go shopping, when you go places. There's a parking space for you. You get upgraded to first class. All of a sudden, someone doesn't show up and you get the table you've been waiting for. The chef comes over and introduces himself. A stranger asks you, I don't know what it is about you, but there's something, have we met before? The signs and the clues and the journey show up easily and effortlessly. Who you attract begins to change, especially as you let go of your anxieties about putting myself out there. Who is going to judge me? When you come from that kind of energy, you're transmitting your feelings at a very low level of consciousness. Once again, the lowest level of consciousness is guilt and shame, followed quickly by abandonment and rejection. A large percent of the people who engage in selling businesses, businesses that require sales, marketing, and branding skills, have an anxiety about being rejected. They put so much energy into being rejected that now they create worry. Worry becomes a way of life. Worry fulfills disappointment. Worry also keeps people safe and disappointed because they stay in a state of inaction, in inactivity. When you move into action, activity, now you can create the repetition and experience to create a new neurological network of neurons that wire and fire as you rewire your brain. When you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that created your rejection tendencies, your rejection feelings, then you don't create a story about an outcome that hasn't happened. Then when you ask someone a question and they let you know that they're not interested or they don't answer your question, you're able to read the situation for what it is, then you don't feel rejected. Oftentimes, rejection creates a one-and-done syndrome. Someone engages in someone, the person isn't interested, also because the person asking the question doesn't really ask a question. They open their mouth and they start talking. They start talking about the benefits and features and why you need this product and how I want you on my team and how you'd be really good at this. While the person virtually starts running away, you feel rejected, not really understanding that you've emotionally talked too much. And you virtually talk this person out of the opportunity because of your own anxiety. This is very common, happens frequently, is something you can recover from very easily by having a better understanding of cause and effect, why you do what you do, and then changing your perception about being rejected. When someone says to me, when I ask them a question, have you ever considered owning your own business, and they say I'm going to nursing school, they didn't reject me, they didn't answer my question. Number two, they telegraphed they had no interest. I'm not going to pursue this conversation because I know it's not worth my energy. They disqualified themselves with their answer. I'm not going to create a story in my head. Well, if I would have asked this, if I'd have said this, maybe I should do this. Maybe I should call this person 37 times. No, I'm not going to go into this story. It's a very easy, effortless situation. It's called letting go. Letting go means separate feelings from events, that shaped an anxiety. As you're no longer the mind-body connection to an event, then you will not have the same tendencies to be anxious. Now, one of the most challenging anxieties that you may face, most of society faces, is being overwhelmed. Being overwhelmed creates a corresponding response that typically shows up physically. If you're overwhelmed, know people are overwhelmed, grew up being overwhelmed, grew in a household of overwhelmed, being overwhelmed creates physical stuff. Physical stuff is a lot of stuff that people hold on to while they're stuffing their feelings. It's very common for people to be hoarders, to be overweight, because they hold on to feelings, they hold on to things. Those things they hold on to are difficult to let go of because they might require it someday. This becomes the story that people hold on to. Also, another challenging situation, if you've been guilted by family members, people in your circle of influence, how you can't move down the street, can't leave the hood, can't leave the barrio, the neighborhood, or any of these situations, and you let people use guilt to control you, and then resentment is how you feel, and you're too guilty to say, I don't want to come over on Sunday because I don't feel like getting violated. If you live in this kind of energy, then there's a lot of tolerance to that, meaning your body's built an emotional tolerance, making it more and more challenging because your story's deeper and deeper about how you can't let go. What you hold on to expands. What you let go of condenses, means you start to shrink it down. It's not so big. When you have a big story, you have a big reason not to change. As you start to minimize your story, minimize your anxieties, you change your awareness, which means you change your consciousness. You cannot change what you avoid. When you continue to say, I don't know why I do this, well, then you're living a low level of energy, a very low level of consciousness. That means you're going to live in denial. Denial meaning that I'm going to avoid changing. I'm going to avoid changing because being an addict is safer than being successful. That's your ego talking to you. Your ego is what you will continue in the neocortex of your brain. Your ego will do everything in its power to keep you in a place called familiar. That familiar zone is actually your failure zone. When you live in a comfortable failure zone, then you will tiptoe quietly through life, arriving at your grave safely, dying the greatest pain, the pain of regret. So just getting by is making a living. Designing a life is a whole different experience. As you start to create a vision in your meditative states, as you begin to relax and have a very clear idea of who you are, what you're capable of becoming, and you start to devote the energy to the craft that will absolutely lead you to the land of promise, when you begin to devote energy to the skills, habits, and mindset, when you get beyond reading the books and going to the events, you actually integrate the books, and when you go to the events, you apply the content, and you create results from your knowledge. Knowledge without application is a wish. That's education. Education does not equal a result. You can be educated, have a master's degree, a doctorate degree, a medical degree, a law degree, more degrees than a thermometer, and have $250,000 worth of school loan debt on 8% interest and have no results. Unfortunately, that's what happens to a lot of people. They get seduced by the educational system. They go out and get a job that doesn't really reward them. They get a job that pays them what a job is worth. And then they end up with a lot of liability debt with a very high tolerance to being overwhelmed. Now, to let go of your tolerance to being overwhelmed, it's a one-day-at-a-time process. That's what changes your vibration. That's what changes your energy. As you begin to let go of anxiety, procrastination, avoidance tendencies, being overwhelmed, emotional addictions that lead to other addictions, as you have a better understanding what the word sobriety means, it means one day at a time, not violating yourself, not letting others violate you, not being critical, not letting other people criticize you, not being in a state where even if someone does criticize you, you don't personalize it, understanding that sometimes it's better to be let other people be right so you can go on and be prosperous, understanding why people do what they do. When you keep telling yourself, I don't know why they did this, get clear why they did it. When you understand the basics, when you understand the cause that creates effect, when you understand how people use control to be in control of being out of control so they can feel in control, then you won't be as controlling. As you can separate your feelings from the events, and when you start to pick up on why people do what they do, for instance, if you have parents, siblings, significant others, people in your circle of influence who consistently put you in a position you have to validate, justify, and explain yourself, well, you want to get clear that that's a big part of your identity. If you're an addicted validator, justifier, explainer, that means you're going to tell a lot of stories, meaning that you're so emotionally addicted to a set of feelings, when someone asks you a question, you're going to tell a story. Now, when you can change those feelings, when you have a better understanding of why people do what they do, then you can neutralize your feelings while you neutralize others. As you begin to neutralize other people, meaning you no longer let them put you in a position to explain yourself, you can use a U-turn, meaning you can ask them a question rather than telling a story, then you change your energy, you change your awareness. Now, in that kind of relationship, you're not as relatable to that person, and they no longer will use you as their counterforce to be their force, because they're not going to get the same neurochemical feedback from you that they are seeking. An emotional spiritual vampire always wants a little more. They will constantly put people in a position to be wrong. They will constantly put people in a position they'll find the flaws. And these kinds of people, you don't require them in your circle of influence. It's going to be your responsibility, i.e. the ability to respond, to understand the cause and the effect of why people do what they do. As you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape your feelings, as you can separate your feelings from the events, you'll change what you attract. That means you'll start to have more aha moments. You'll have more synchronistic events. You'll start to live in a place called bliss. Your body will change, meaning your physical body. You won't hold on to the water weight that keeps you bloated and overwhelmed. You won't attract the parasites and the other intestinal situations that show up in your body. You won't attract people who you won't attract the perpetrators and violators who put you in a position that you're in conflict. As you're no longer connected to conflict, you won't put yourself in a position that you have to validate yourself. As you have a better understanding of why people do what they do, then you won't personalize situations that drop your energy. Once you start to feel rejected and abandoned, neglected and violated, it drops your energy. When you spend a lot of your time proving people wrong, proving them right, being in the ring with them, being angry at them, I'll show you. If you're going to go succeed, you don't succeed to prove someone wrong. They're never going to believe you're good enough. You're wasting your energy. The people that you think are going to romance you and mythically, magically show up and tell you that we always knew you could do it, it doesn't happen like that. They typically find a bigger reason for you to fail. They'll find something else. They'll find another flaw. A flaw finder always finds a flaw. When you understand this, then you won't seek approval from people that can't give it to you. As you're no longer the mind-body connection to being violated, being rejected, you change your perception of rejection. So when someone says they're not interested, you're not being rejected. When someone says, yeah, I'll get back to you, you know they don't mean it. When someone says, yeah, I'm going to get started in 90 days, you know that they're telling themselves what they think they want you to hear, knowing they're not really committed. The committed person commits. You can hear it. A committed person has conviction, and it's that kind of conviction that's powerful. It's that type of empowerment that people live empowered, and an empowered, enlightened soul transmutes energy at a very high level of consciousness. An unevolved, anxious, overwhelmed person who constantly has to repeat the questions, who doesn't understand, who acts very feeble, and is very analytical, are not the kind of people that you build teams with. You don't build cultures with people who have to know all the facts, figures, technical know-how, and data. Those type of people are looking for a flaw. They're the kind of people ask you, how do I, I don't understand. It means that they don't have any street sense, that they rely on facts, figures, and logic to decide. Decisive people decide because they know. Decisive people decide because they trust. Indecisive people avoid. Indecisive people put things off. It's all out in the future. Now, you goal set in the future, but you also goal set with clearly defined short-term goals. If you're committed, you're committed. If you're committed, money shows up. If you're committed, people show up. If you're committed, opportunities show up. When you're interested, people are interested show up. You're going to attract your reality, people who believe what you believe. If you can't let go of your weight, well, there's a direct reflection of what you're holding on to. The best diets, detoxes, cleanses, colonics. None of that matters when you are so stuck in your body that you can't let go of what you hold on to because it keeps you safe and disappointed. In that consciously unevolved state, you'll transmute your feelings at a very low level of integrity. When you're out of alignment and out of integrity with yourself, then you will find ways not to follow through on your obligations. You'll miss payments, file bankruptcy, not pay the Internal Revenue Service, get behind, be late, do these situations that keep you overwhelmed. An overwhelmed tolerance becomes a very high tolerance to being overwhelmed. It's like when you start off on a low level of an emotional addiction, it starts off at 10 milligrams. All of a sudden it's 80 milligrams, 150 milligrams. Now you're acutely addicted to a set of feelings. Now your whole life is a WRECK. You're near rock bottom, a very overrated state to be and stay in. Now, when you're committed, you can overcome any circumstance because of your commitment, but you can't overcome circumstances in doubt and anxiety. It's not going to change because you hope it happens. It's going to change because you commit to it. That type of commitment changes your inflection, it changes your voice, it changes your tone, it changes your sexuality, your sexual energy. It changes your state of being. You sweat more frequently your temple and your low back and your legs because you're committed, because you're transmuting your feelings from a different place in your energy. You're transmuting your feelings from your diaphragm, from your sexual energy. You're transmuting your feelings from the lower part of your body, not the upper part of your body, not in your chest and your throat. Hi, my name is Data. I'm calling because I want to go ahead and get this over with. Please reject me so I can feel disappointed. When you have no juice, no DNA, you don't have the goods, you don't have the compassion, the passion, when you don't have empathy, when you don't come from those places, people don't buy from you. If you don't have the energy, and energy is something you don't borrow, energy is something you become. You become energy. You become successful by becoming that energy. That energy is called compassion. It's passion. It's a different level of desire than you've ever given yourself permission to transmute. When you will not be denied. But if you just think about it, evaluate it, figure it out. If you have challenges with money, if you have all these challenges with money, your credit cards constantly have no money in them, you have no money in your bank account, or you have all this conflict with money, it's because your energy isn't conducive sexually and emotionally to attracting the kind of people that can feel you. Now, that's not always your fault, because if you've been violated, neglected, abandoned, abused, then you're going to live in a repressed, high-tolerant state of anxiety. For you to overcome that, it's not a how do I, it's an I am state. You don't require a seminar to figure this out. You require deciding to figure it out. It's not I'm going to, it's an I am state. It's like I am tonight. But if you continue to tell yourself that I can't turn my brain off, I toss and turn, I can't turn the engine off, I spend my whole night thinking, if you talk like that, you have no energy. You have no consciousness. If I don't know why I do what I do, you have no consciousness. You're coming from anxiety when you continue to transmute this. This is so simple to change your self-talk. It's not a, yeah, but. See, that's some. And I was coaching someone today. I said, can you just once say good point? I said this to a client, just one time in this hour, say good point, Jeff, instead of being sensitive and defensive. When you are sensitive and defensive, when you ask for input and someone gives you input, and when you're sensitive and defensive, you turn it into criticism. And then you wonder why the people you want to mentor you don't want to mentor you. Then you wonder why the coaches that you want to coach you don't want you to rehire them. And then you wonder why you get violated, because you set yourself up to be disappointed. Until you can understand the cause that creates the effect of why disappointment is a way of life, then you will continue to attract people and situations to be and stay disappointed. I know some of you are saying, oh my God, he is freaking filleting this tonight. You're correct. This is the simplicity of transformation. Transformation is simple. It's not complicated. It's just like asking a question. It's simple. It's not a how do I. A question is 5 to 15 words that end with a question. But you cannot be simple in complication. When you're complicated, overwhelmed, addicted, have money issues, have food issues, repressed issues, and stuffing issues. You can't be simple because everything you do is complicated. When you live in drama and chaos, that's complication. When you live in that kind of energy, then you also require conflict to compound your complication. People who are complicated also have conflict because that keeps them in a neurochemically overwhelmed state and a very high tolerance to being anxious. When you're no longer the mind-body connection, when you can let go of your family, your friends, the people who you think love you, you let violate you because many people will protect their perpetrators. My parents were really good people. Do you really have to say that? You have to lead with it. When someone says that to me, I know there's a lie underneath it. Now, that doesn't mean parents are bad people or next-door neighbors are bad people, but if you have to protect your perpetrators, you're going to attract other people to violate you. Then you'll be guilty and resentful. Now, when you can separate your feelings from the facts, when you can state the fact for what it is, that's called objectivity. That's called metacognition. You don't have to confront your perpetrators or violators. You confront yourself to be rigorously honest, to separate your feelings from the events. When you have boundaries that you are stable in, you will not relapse in. When you are very comfortable with self, then you don't give your power away to people who use force to make you their counterforce. When you are very comfortable with your decisions, then you won't doubt them. When you live in a state of overwhelm, you cannot commit. You can't be and stay committed in an overwhelmed body. You can be and stay committed in a relaxed body. You don't perform your best with your back against the wall. You perform your best in a very relaxed, released body in a state of conscious awareness where relapses are not a way of life. When you have no more cheat days, then relapses are not something you worry about because there's nothing to worry about because it never happens. When you live in that state, you're not tricking your brain. You are your brain and your body in one, and you are one with. In that one-with state, you seldom relapse. And if you do, it's in a very short sequence of feelings that are easily neutralized by taking a breath. As you begin to practice the art of breathing, a deep breath that releases the neurological neurons that wire and fire that form your anxiety, then you begin to change your consciousness. Breathing changes consciousness. Meditation changes consciousness. Yoga changes consciousness. Walks in serenity. Serenity prayers changes consciousness. Praying changes consciousness. Letting go of anxiety changes consciousness. It's not a one situation changes consciousness. Consciousness is a commitment. Consciousness is not something you put your hands on. It's etheric. It's ethereal. It's universal. It's right there in front of you. Occasionally, in a very relaxed body, you can see energy. I can see it frequently. I can see the white sparkles in the air occasionally. I also can see auras occasionally. I can see violet, the yellows, the golds, the silvers. I can see that around people who vibrate and transmute at a very high level of energy. And it's that kind of energy that eye contact gets created. There's a head shake. There's a no state. There's unconscious communication going on. It's nonverbal. It's emotional. Stories are being told without any communication. When indigo children become indigo grown-ups, you'll attract more and more indigo people in your circle of influence. You can look that word up. But when you knew you were brilliant as a kid, and then you also understood that being brilliant can get you in trouble, and you shut that down, now it's time to be brilliant. And in that type of state, you're living in creativity and innovation rather than anxiety and overwhelmed feelings. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. This call has officially been recorded. We'll be available on Podomatic at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 a.m. Pacific, Wednesday, May 10th. Next Wednesday, May 16th, my guest will be Tara Romano, one of the most exceptional women I've ever had the privilege to collaborate, coach, and share quality time with. Tara is an exceptional woman. That will be Tuesday, May 16th, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. Thank you for being on tonight's call. Have a great evening, and have a great month of May, everyone. Good night.